to SER Breakfast. That's a Thursday. It's 8:15. Michael Jones joins us to let us know about the movies he's been to see this week. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Danny. I'm pretty well, thanks. Some familiar old IP this morning. One, a second sequel, 9 years after the first sequel, which came 3 years after the original. The other, a remake of a 1987 film that was based on yet another Stephen King novel, but he had a different name when he wrote that novel. So which film would you like to talk about first? Picard, Danny.
How time passes, I think. I'm going to have to go with Now You See Me.
Good pick, yes. Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
Whoa.
This is the third film in the Now You See Me series. Returning for a third go-round after 9 years, Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network, Isla Fisher from Wedding Crashers and Home and Away fame, Dave Franco from 21 Jump Street, Woody Harrelson from Cheers and White Men Can't Jump, along with a three new wannabe horsemen, Justice Smith from I Saw the TV Glow, Dominic Sessa from The Holdovers and Ariana Greenblatt from 65, plus Rosamund Pike from Gone Girl and a couple of other surprises.
That's a stacked cast right there, my dude.
Yep. It is very stacked cast, and it's directed by Ruben Fleischer, who made Venom and Zombieland. After 9 years doing their own thing, the Four Horsemen, Atlas, Merritt, Jack, and Henley, are brought back together to steal the Heart Diamond from international money launderer and all-round bad person Veronica Vandenberg, who is played by Rosamund Pike with a South African accent straight out of Lethal Weapon 2.
I am the diamond.
Diplomatic immunity? I don't think so.
That's the one.
Diplomatic immunity indeed. Look, it's a big job, so they get the help of some cocky young punks with more than a few tricks up their sleeves and the attitude to match, Charlie, Bosco and June. Can our heroes still make magic together and pull off the heist of a lifetime? Well, you'll just have to watch and find out. It's pretty likely, but how do they cross international borders without raising the attention of customs, immigration or even Interpol? I mean, they are international jewel thieves. I know they're illusionists, but are they really that good? Let's suspend belief and assume that they are and enjoy this family-friendly PG-13 film for what it is. Plenty of froth and bubble and exotic locations and lots of sleight of hand, so much so that you'll wonder where an hour and 52 minutes just went. We've now amassed an almost Avengers-style team, so original cast members will be able to disappear and reappear whenever they want in future iterations of this franchise. Now You See Me, Now You Don't doesn't really pull any new rabbits out of the hat, but the formula is tried and true. The set pieces come at such a rapid-fire pace that even the most TikTok-addled attention spans will know they've possibly enjoyed something by the end of the film.
Are you a fan of this series, the Now You See Me series?
Look, it's kind of fun. It doesn't really break any new ground. It's like every heist-type film you've ever seen. You see the heist, and then you see how they do it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, obviously this one involves a lot of magic, so
it's a nice way to switch off for a couple of hours.
It certainly is. Turn your brain off, and kids would certainly enjoy that.
Are we turning our brain off for this other sequel reimagining that you bring to the table?
Well, I think perhaps you should. This is The Running Man, starring Glenn Powell from Spy Kids 3 and Maverick, Josh Brolin from The Goonies, Coleman Domingo from Fear of the Walking Dead, Lee Pace from Lincoln, Jamie Lawson from Sinners, and look out for William H. Macy, Michael Cera, and Sean Hayes in some bit parts. It's directed by Edgar Wright from the Cornetto trilogy, that being Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz and The World's End, as well as Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Baby Driver and Last Night in Soho. Based on the novel by Richard Bachman, who went on to become Stephen King, The Running Man first appeared on the big screen in 1987, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger in gold spandex.
Who could forget?
And a bunch of professional wrestlers given the task of ending him. In 2025's Running Man, Glenn Powell is Ben Richards, a man living in a dystopian future and desperate to get money for his sick child. He's been blacklisted as a malcontent, so the only way to get that money is to sign a deal with the devil, a TV producer named Jack Killian, played by Josh Brolin, to appear on the ultimate high-stakes reality show, The Running Man. Stay alive for 30 days and win $1 billion with Arnold Schwarzenegger's face on them. Or
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, or face a possible death. But of course, the game is rigged and Ben has no hope of winning. Or does he?
Does he?
Let's start off by saying the Running Man does hit the ground running and looks pretty cool. Edgar Wright and his set designers and visual effects team have created a spectacular dystopian future that looks great, at least for one part of the population, the haves, but not the half that Ben Richards, his wife and sick child live in. Sure, they still have fancy TVs, but the TVs are also watching them. And nobody's wearing gold spandex anymore, which is good. But then we get to the rest of the movie. Whereas the 1987 version came in at a tight 101-minute sprint, this version feels like a bloated marathon at 133 minutes. The 1987 Running Man was by no means the greatest film ever made, but it was a campy, darkly comedic and violent romp all the way to the finish with some classic Arnie throwaway lines. By contrast, 2025 Running Man feels more like a meandering dawdle of a film, never quite sure where it's going. Is it satire? It's not particularly funny. Is it a thriller? When we find out how manipulated the game is, it's not particularly thrilling either. Is Ben Richards running for his life or not? Is it an action film? There are some well put together set pieces, but they certainly won't have you going, wow, that was amazing. They feel very run of the mill. How's it going to end? The last act feels like a cobbled together mess, as if the filmmakers didn't really seem to know how to finish this convoluted mess that they've created for themselves. Glenn Powell is a good leading man material, but he's no Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's been given some awful dialogue in this movie, and I've never seen him look so wooden and uncharismatic. And Edgar Wright is often lauded for the soundtracks to his film, but even those Don't Bring Me Down and Keep On Running actually seem to slow the pace of this movie down rather than give it any momentum. Perhaps he should have looked to Run Lola Run for inspiration. I ran out of patience with The Running Man about a third of the way through when it seemed to really run out of steam. It certainly feels like a false start in the careers of Glenn Powell and Edgar Wright. Tell your story walking, guys. The Running Man is running on empty.
Oh, Michael Jones, thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER Breakfast.